No, who can take it? It takes a week. All right, we're on Yud Beis Amud Al, 12A. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines from the top. The words Lema Kitanoi. And let's set this up for you all.
Did we want to review the notes?
We are. So I said I'm going to set it up for you.
Oh, okay.
Let me just get as big as I can. That's as big as I can make it. Okay, Lema Kitanoi. That's pretty clear. Okay, this is what we'd like to review quickly here. We're having a discussion if servants are considered like movable objects or are they considered like property. The difference will be if a man borrows money and does not pay back and he dies, can we now collect from his slaves? Because we know when you collect from orphans, you can only collect from land and not from movable objects. So can't, is a slave considered a movable object or land? That was the issue. Ula said in the name of Rabbi Lazar a statement that was we developed further to say that you can collect from a servant a debt. And we said that speaking where the owner, the borrower made an apotiki, he specifically designated this slave you can collect from, and they went and sold the slave. The chiddush was that in this aspect it's considered like something that you, even though it's like, could be like metaltalin, it is still something that's collectible because you put an apotiki on it. And Rava said even further that if the borrower made an apotiki on an ox though, and he sells the ox, we can't collect because word doesn't spread about an ox, but a word spreads about a servant. So clearly, if you make an apotiki on a servant, everybody agrees, even Rav Nachman agrees, that if the guy went and sold the servant, you can collect the servant. That's for sure. The machlokas is, what about if the man dies without paying his debts? Can you go to the orphans and collect from the slave? That appears to be a machlokes. Without an apotiki. And just to collect from the servant, Ula says behind Rav Nachman's back that you can collect it because the servant is like land in this aspect. Or Rav Nachman said not. Then we brought a bunch of cases from the rabbis of Nahardoi and the rabbis
didn't
of...
Didn't Ula say behind his back that you can't?
You can. In front of him, he said you can't.
Not. Yeah,
but behind his back,
he said you can.
So it came out, we had on one side Ula, the rabbis of Nahardoi, Rav Chana Bar Bizna from Bedisa said you could collect from the orphans because they considered like land. While Rav Nachman said, no, I'm going to tell the creditors who took the land, go give it back. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to collect. He also, it's like metaltalin, it's like movable land. To which we discussed yesterday, but Rav Nachman, we got all these rabbis arguing on you. What's your source to go and argue with them? He says, my source is a brisa. A brisa that Avimi taught us about the pros bowl, and about Kinyan Agav. Two halachas. We'll review that. Pros bowl, remember, is the document where you're handing over your debts to the Bezdin, where they can collect it from the guy who hasn't paid you back, because you don't want your debts to be released in Shemitah. So we said that it only works if the lender has land. Because then it says, if it was almost collected in advance. So the question is, okay, if the lender has land, the prosbul works. What if the lender has servants? Does the prosbul work? The brisa says, no, it will not take effect because servants are not considered like land, obviously. Another law, if you want to acquire movable objects, you can acquire it with something called a kinyan agav. Agav means along with the acquisition of the land, you can get the acquisition of the movable objects. If I make a kinyan on a piece of land, together with that piece of land, you could buy something that's movable object with that as well. Once I acquire the land, the movable object goes with it. How about if I buy a slave and some movable objects? Will the movable objects be acquired with the slave? No, because the slave is not considered land. You can't acquire a movable, cannot acquire a movable object with another movable object. I'm going to be kind of this iPad, and together I want to get the tape recorder. No, those are two movable objects. One cannot go with the other. If I acquire land, then I can throw in a movable object with it. So about a servant with a movable object? The Bryce says, no. a servant does not, and then we get a movable object. Two examples that a servant is like movable objects. Prosbul can't be done on it, only with land, and a kinyan agav. The acquiring through the other object only happens with land and not with an animal. So that's where we ended yesterday, and I ended with the bracket on the very bottom line. How do Ul and the others respond to this price? Now it's reversed. It's an unspoken question. But how does Ula, how do the rabbis of Nardoi, how do the rabbis of Pumbedisa deal with the fact there's a brisa that clearly supports Rav Nachman, who says clearly this servant is considered like movable property, movable objects, and not like property, so why should be able to collect from the orphans after the borrower dies? That's where we ended off yesterday. So the answer is going to be, now, within the answer, there is really an unspoken question. The answer really opens up more questions, and we have to wait till we go a little further. I'm probably not going to finish it today, till we get to total clarity. But there's only one way these, now, what do you think will be the way that these three rabbis are going to answer? What's going to be the direction they have to go? They'd have to bring a brisa to support them. But if they bring a brisa to support them, what would that be telling us? That there'd be an argument amongst earlier rabbis, Tanoim. If we'll say, well, you have this rabbi to rely on, then I have this rabbi to rely on. Now, although that may sound like a good answer, that could create more questions than answers, as we'll speak about shortly. But that's going to be the general direction. Ra'ula and the other are going to say, well, there's another brisa that obviously must say differently. And how are they going to say that? Because they're going to bring us now two brises, two brand new brises, that are written by Tanoim, that clearly the two brises are arguing on each other. And one brisa suggests that a servant is like a movable object, and one brisa suggests a servant is like land. So, okay, so you got one brisa, we have a different brisa. That's going to be the general way of answering this question. As we're going to see, the suggested answer is Tanoim, point 16, Tanoim argue about whether or not slaves are like land or not. So now we're going to look in the Gemara and see it firsthand. Leima ketanoi, let us say it is a machlokas tanoim. Okay, the same argument, Rav Nachman and Ula, is the same between the Tanoim. Now, you see, they put in a question mark over here. You'll see in a minute why this answer raises more questions than more than it answers, as we'll see shortly. But let's bring the two brises and show you why there's a conflict of Tanaim over this issue as to whether a servant is considered like land or not. Brisa number one. This is all regarding Kinyan Agav. If you buy one thing, can you throw in the other thing with it? Well, so when can you say this? When can you not say this? Brisa number one. Machar lo avadim v'karkos. If somebody sold slaves and land. Two things, slave and land. Now what did the buyer do? How did he make a kinyan? What did he do? Hechzik v'avadim. What if the guy performed a proprietary act, does a kinyan with the slaves, but has not, but that's all he did. He made a kinyan on the slave. Does he acquire the land? The answer is no. He does not, as we see in the next statement. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped it too far. Hechzik v'avadim lo kana karkois. If he did a proprietary act on the slave, you have not acquired the land. Okay.
I don't understand.
He did something to show owners, the buyer grabbed the servant. I'm taking the servant. But by taking the servant, you don't get automatic ownership of the land. You didn't do a proprietary act on the land. Right? He just did one, but not the other. He did one without the other.
It would be to pay for it.
Well, don't worry about that. Let's just go. But you got to make a kinyan. You got to make a kinyan to get something. Right, you've got to make a proprietary act to show ownership. Right? So the guy wanted to buy two things. Right? But he only did a proprietary act on the slaves. It will not enable him to own the land. Let's take a look at footnote 11. A Canaanite slave could be acquired in any of the three ways that land can be acquired. Can be acquired. In other words, by means of money, a document, or a chazakah. Ah, that's what I'm worried about. A chazakah, a proprietary act. That is an act that demonstrates ownership. Obviously, writing a document, there's no issues. If I write a document, I'm buying the following items. I make a shopping list. This piece of land, this slave, this, that, you know. A document's a document. That's a good Kenyan. They give you cash is also good. Here's $500 for the tape recorder, $500 for the iPad, $500 for the servant. But there's a third method of called a proprietary act. That's a Kenyan. A chazakah. You're doing something to show that you're owner, although the money has changed hands yet. So he did a proprietary act with the slave. So what do we say? He says, lo kano karkois. You didn't get the land yet. You didn't get the land. Because the animal, so obviously, you know, we would say, I guess the servant's not considered like land. That's pretty sure, but we'll see if there's even more to this. Now, that's law number one. How about the next one over here? So if he did it upon one lokana karkois, he has not acquired the land, right? He has not thereby acquired the land.
What you would make it think,
point
though. But you would make it think.
The Kenyan of Agav only allows movables to be acquired along with land. It does not allow land to be acquired with land. So if I buy one piece of land, I don't get another piece of land. It's another rule.
Yeah.
Thus, even if we were to view the slaves being purchased as land, their acquisition would not be able to affect the acquisition of the land. All right, that won't work. All right, that's point number one. If I do a proprietary act on the servant, because no matter what you say a servant, it's not going to work for land. No. That doesn't matter. So that's not really telling us much yet. We have to continue. What do you want to say, Martin?
I'm saying that this sort of tells us that this is not... This is not karka.
Well, we don't know yet. That first line doesn't say anything. Because you can't, even if it was karka, it won't work. So that first line doesn't tell us anything. There's much more to this brisa.
Okay.
First line is a benign line regarding this machlokas. Because first line, no matter what we hold an animal is, even if an animal's land doesn't help you acquire the land. That's just a rule.
So.
Right. I'm sorry, even if a servant is considered like land, it won't work. Because land doesn't go on land. Certain rules. There's the rules. Land can acquire. Metalplin can be acquired through land. Land cannot be acquired through metalplin. Land cannot be acquired through land. Those are the rules. So even if you say a slave is like land, if I acquire the slave, I don't get the land. Okay, let's do the next one. What if I now acquired the land? Bikarkos. What if I acquired the land? Lokon avodim. I don't get the slave. Okay? So we'll have to understand, you know, what does that mean? And footnote 13 says more, we'll discuss the reason for this law below.
That appears to be like land then.
Well,
right.
It could, you'd think so, but we will see. We will see. But let's keep going. There's more. There's better proofs coming up. So this area is not so simple because, you know, land. The first half really isn't helpful, but the brisa goes on. Next point. What if you acquire karkos umetalpin? What if you acquire land and movable objects? Okay, now we're talking about land and movable objects. Well, if he was hechsik bakarka, if he acquired the land, if he did a proprietary act on the land, then kind of metalpin gets the movables. Because that's the classic example of Kenyan Agav. That's a classic. That when you acquire the land, you right away get the property. That's fine. And the reverse we know is also, but Metalton, if you only made a proprietary act of the movable objects, Lokona Karka. You didn't get the land either, because it doesn't work. So far, that doesn't help us with our machlokas either. Now is the most important part of this brisa now, coming up now. So we did land and servants, and land and movable objects. What's left? Servants and movable objects. What if you're going to acquire servants and move off? Now we can really say for sure, is a servant like land or not? If you say a servant is like land, so what happens? Everyone's going to agree that the movable object will not help you acquire the servant. No matter what you say, a servant is, it won't help. But what if I acquire the servant? Can I get the movable objects? Well, that will depend if you say the servant's like land or not. So let's see what he says. Avarim u'metaltalim. What if the person acquired, bought avarim u'metaltalim? And where did he make the proprietary act? Hichsik v'avarim. What if he did a proprietary act on the slave? Lokana metaltalim. You did not acquire the movable objects. So what is that clear?
It's land.
It's land.
Want to try that again?
Not like land.
Not like land. You acquired the servant. You did not acquire the movable objects. The servant is clearly considered like land, like movable objects. Because of the land, you would be able to, you would acquire the movable object. Right?
That's a, who says that when you...
It's a brisa.
Oh, it's a brisa. Okay.
It's a brisa. Can't argue on a brisa. Point 16. The Gemara will attempt to demonstrate from this ruling that we just said that the Tana of this brisa subscribes to the opinion that slaves are treated as movables with respect to the kinyan of agav. Thus, acquisition does not cause the movables to be acquired as well. Bingo! That's the part of the brisa we wanted. Now we can finish off the brisa. What about if you did a proprietary act b'metaltalin with the metaltalin, with the movable objects? The lokan avarim has not acquired the slaves. That's for sure, because footnote 17, for acquisition of movables does not cause other items to be acquired at all. Right? Now, the notes say the brisa seems to rule that slaves are treated as movables. Look at footnote 18. For it rules that acquisition of slaves does not acquire movables. So this brisa clearly says that a slave for kinyan agav is considered a movable object.
How does that help Ula's case?
What?
How does this help Ula's
case? Well, once you're going to tell me that it's a movable object, well, that goes according to Rav Nachman. Hold on. We said it's a machlokas of two brises. I'm not done. That's one brisa. That's brisa number one. That brisa number one seems to be like Rav Nachman. It doesn't help Ula. But now we're going to bring in another brisa. Remember we said it's an argument of brises. So brisa 1 clearly is saying that a slave regarding kinyan agav is considered like a movable object. Okay, but now we got another brisa. Here's the other brisa.
There's only two brises that support Rav Nachman.
No, there's two brises. One agrees with one differs. There's arguing brises.
I'm talking about here, before we had another brisa with Rav Nachman, no?
Fine. That doesn't matter. That doesn't show two or one. It could be the same opinion, same rabbi saying two different laws. Vahatanya, but now there's another brisa that disagrees. And look what it says. It only says one line. When you're buying servants and metaltalim, look what it says. Hechazik bavadim, if you did a proprietary act on a slave, kana metaltalim, you do acquire movable objects. What does that mean?
It's
you
like
can
land.
Do a kinyan agav.
It's like land.
With a servant movable object. It must be a servant. It's considered like land. Bingo. So now, that's the bright. So it's a machlokas tanoim. So the Gemara makes the following conclusion. My love, is it not, beho, on this very point, if a servant is considered like land or movable object, come me fligi, they argue on that. That what? Demar savar, that the second brisa we brought, savar holds avodin kimakar koidam. That slaves are like land, and therefore you can make a kinyan agav on the movable objects of the land. Umar savar, and the other one says, the first one says, no, servants are avodin kimataltalim dami. They're like movable objects. So now we got to be careful how we now know where we're at right now. Let's analyze everything we had here. We were saying we have three rabbis who said that regarding orphans, that the slave is considered like land. And you can collect from the orphans. Rav Nachman says, no, you can't consider it like that. So we said, well, Rav Nachman, why are you arguing with all these guys? So I have a brisa. And the brisa said, you can't make a prose bowl on servants. You can't make a kinyan agav with servants. See, servants are like movable property. Now that rate flips back to the question on who and the other rabbis. You got a brisa against you. So what do Gemara say? Well, let's say it's an argument of tanoim. It's an argument of Tanoim. What does it mean it's an argument of Tanoim? An argument of Tanoim means, well, one earlier rabbi seems to say a slave is like movable property. One seems to say it's like land. So on the one hand, you've answered the question, because these rabbis will say, we'll hold like that rabbi. That would seem to make things good. All right? Now, before I get to my next point, let's take a look at how the notes play out over here. 16, bottom line, suggestion. Tanoim argue about whether or not slaves are like land. Statement of Brisa number 1. A. Shimon was buying slaves and land. If he did a chazaka, let's add the English word over here. One second. I have to remember. Let's flick it back. Okay, if he did a chazaka, so let's add the word. Proprietary. Did I spell it right?
You can just put spell check on it.
Proprietary act. To acquire the land, he does not acquire the slaves. Okay. How did I do an X? How did I do that?
What?
If he did a chazaka, I should have written it over here. If he did a chazaka. Okay, if he did a chazaka to acquire the slaves, he did not acquire the land. If he did a chazaka to acquire the land, he does not acquire the slaves. No proofs from there. If he was buying land in Metaltalin, if he did a chazaka to acquire the land, he did acquire the Metaltalin. If he made a kinyan on the Metaltalin, he did not acquire the land. That's also not related to us. C is the critical one. And maybe we should highlight it. We'll make it like this, italicized. Okay, is that a little nicer? Let me make it bold. If he was buying slaves in Metaltalin, if he needed a chazaka to acquire the slaves, he did not acquire the Metaltalin. Right? So that clearly says what?
That Avadim seem like Metaltalin.
Seems that slaves are like Metaltalin. Okay, if he made a kinyan on the Metaltalin, he did not acquire the slaves. Statement of Brisa number 2. If he did a chazaka to acquire the slaves, he acquires the Metaltalin. Seems that what? Seems that what? That slaves
are like karka.
Are like land. Now, so far you think, okay. On the one hand, you think, okay, these three rabbis are in the clear. These three rabbis that say you can collect from the orphans, they're like the rabbi who says that you can make a kinyan agav with the servants of Metaltalin because they're considered like land. And Rav Nachman holds like the other brisa. But although you may have gotten out of one question, you got out of the frying pan, but now you put yourself into the fire. You know why you put yourself into the fire?
You got in the clump.
There's an old rule that goes as following. If earlier Tanoim already arguing about something,
how can you argue about it?
You, as a later Amora, what are you opening your mouth and just plagiarizing an opinion that's been stated hundreds of years earlier? Rabbi Amora doesn't get up and say something that was clearly said by earlier rabbis. So if we have, that's what a lot of times when you have this rabbi to say, an Amora is arguing with an Amora, somebody's more or less, I don't understand what you guys are arguing about. This was argued earlier in the Tanaim. You know, what are you arguing? You make it sound like it's your argument. What do you mean your argument? It was 300 years earlier. Bigger rabbis argued. If you want to quote in the name of an earlier rabbi,
okay.
I want to quote in the name of somebody. But plagiarism. In other words, two latter rabbis arguing on the same point as two early rabbis? It can't be. Unless you're going to say, I subscribe to that. But why would you have to even say that? Just look in the Mishnahs. So it seemed when we're on the level of dealing with orphans and to collect from the orphans the debt that was not paid, it seems that Ula and the rabbis versus Rav Nachman is a servant compared to land or not. Big argument. But now we've ratcheted it up couple generations higher. We're in the Tanoic era, and we clearly see that there are Tanoim who argue about this. So although maybe, and really if you think about it, so what's going on over here? So you could say on the one hand, you could have two Amoraim arguing, and Rav Nachman says, you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because there's an Amor that supports me. Fine. But now you're saying that they're really arguing, and there's earlier rabbis arguing, so what are you opening up your mouth for? So that's a problem. So what do we have to do? So somehow we have to try to suggest that although this is the way we get out of all lema ketanois, this is teaching you some Talmudic logic. When the Gemara asks lema ketanois, let's say it's already an earlier machlokas, somehow each side of the Amora have to say, no, really the two earlier opinions both agree with me. Even though you think they're arguing about this, I'm going to show you they're not. Or maybe even though they're arguing there, but they wouldn't argue by my case. By my case, everybody would agree like me. Even though there's an argument up here, but maybe only in this little area. But regarding me, they wouldn't be arguing by my thing. So although Tanai may argue, in other words, Tanai may argue, let's say over here, Tanai will argue if a servant is considered like Matavl or not, but maybe only by Kinyan Agav, it's an argument. But maybe by orphans, they both agree it's not an argument. So on the one end, we're seeing there's an argument if tanoim, if slaves are like land or they're like movable objects. But we got to be very focused. What with the Mishnayot, the Brises arguing over, can you make a Kinyan Agav with them? Rav Ula and Rav Nach said, who's talking about Kinyan Agav? We're talking about being able to make the orphans pay off. Maybe there's a difference. Maybe there, we'll say a servant's different. That's going to have to be the focus of the answer to say maybe it's not an argument tonight. Okay, you with me so far? So on the one hand, you had Rav Nachman being challenged. How can you argue with the other rabbis? He says, well, there's an earlier rabbi and it supports me. That alone would have been okay. But now that we prove that there's a whole machlokas tanoim, now there's a problem. Because the machlokas tanoim, so Rav Nachman, why are you butting into a machlokas tanoim? And you, Ul and others, what are you butting into a machlokas tanoim? So there's only one way out of it. To say that even though they argue up there, they wouldn't argue over here. And there's going to be two different versions to show that maybe that argument, earlier argument, would not be argued over here. Okay, you with me? In other words, in the tanoic level of the Brises, they're arguing, can you make a Kinyan Agav with a servant? And that'll depend if you hold the servants like land or movable objects. And there was an argument here with the orphans. Can you collect from the orphans? Is the servant considered like land or not? But maybe one argument is a different realm that it wouldn't apply to the other place. Maybe it wouldn't be the same thing. And that's, there's two ways to reject this. So let, you with me, guys?
Yeah.
I want to lose you guys here.
No, so you're saying that there's an argument about Kinyan Agav. And so the Amorim are saying, okay, well, let's dissect a little bit and maybe under my scenario.
There would be no, maybe so those rabbis would all agree to me over here.
They're going to present their scenario, and the arguments that are we're seeing here in the Brisa are not necessarily
the same points that we're arguing over.
As in terms of whether or not
you can collect from the orphans.
An orphan, you can collect from
exactly. Orphans. So that if you do that, then it comes out that argument at the time has nothing to do with our argument. And then the proof you bought, Rav Nachman, would have nothing to do with our argument either. Maybe. That's the issue over here.
Isn't the whole idea of land, not land.
What number are you on?
19. Well, I'm 18, Rabbi. As you were typing, you said lands, not land.
Oh, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Larry.
But isn't the whole idea of bringing a Kinyan Agav argument into play is to prove that a slave is not a land?
Yes, yes.
And therefore bring it back to orphans, and you can't collect.
That's what they've tried to do, but now I'm going to say, but not necessarily so. Maybe I could show you there's distinctions. Yeah, at first blush, you figure, if he's considered like this over there, he's considered like this over there.
We're going to Kinyan Agav. It's not that we're arguing on Kinyan Agav. We're going there to prove. That
right. But maybe after we've brought the proof, we could say it's not such a good proof. Just because I say, initially we think, you tell me a servant is considered like property or like land over here, it'll be the same thing. That's what we would think. We would think that. But then we're going to say, well, no, I can show you an argument to show that they're different. And that's what we have to do now. Because right now we're in an untenable position. We cannot keep things the way they are. We can't have two rabbis, Amoraim, arguing if they're like slaves or move objects when Tanoim already argued it.
But Tanoim argued it, did not come to a complete conclusion.
They're arguing.
And move forward.
They're arguing. So you're an Amor later on. Keep your mouth shut and tell everybody to look at the Brises. And then you hear what they have to say. I have nothing to say. Why are you getting up and saying something? Well, why is the Amora getting up and saying something if the Tanaim already discussed the issue? So they're not either resolving it. What is up? You don't resolve it. If you bring a proof to resolve it, open up your mouth. If you're just echoing someone else's opinion, who needs you to open up your mouth?
Well, because it wasn't resolved, you end up with people like Rav Nachman who say this.
No, so therefore, if you say like that, then you say, first of all, why do you go with one over the other? What gives you the right to make a decision?
Well, they're holding by somebody. Each one.
Okay, well, why are you holding one, not the other?
Well, same way.
What are you getting involved?
The same way people hold by. But
you have to have proofs.
Hillel or Shah.
Then say it in that name. Say it in the name of the earlier Brisa.
He's not saying nothing.
Nobody said anything.
Then Rebbe Lesser is also an Amora. He's not saying the name of the Brisa. They're not quoting the Brisas. All right, we're going to leave it at that. And tomorrow we're going to give you two.
Stopping?
Yeah, it's already 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We've already been learning 30 minutes.
How are they going to sleep tonight?
Even if we do the next part, they're not going to be able to sleep. It's going to take a couple more shots to finish. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to show two ways to show how the argument of Brisa does not apply to our argument. That's what we're going to show tomorrow.